This is episode 4 of Encounter Points. Welcome to the 4th episode of Encounter Points. I'm Ken Hellenius.
And I'm Bill Schmidt.
In the last episode, we talked about truth and its relationship to joy. How can finding the truth make us joyful? I thought it was a great conversation, and honestly, I'm really looking forward to this week's conversation.
Well, Ken, building on the idea of truth, this week we'll talk about trust. Trust is the glue that holds society together. It's like truth in action. When we are able to trust that our neighbor is seeking the same thing as we are, this gives us peace of mind.
And that peace of mind is where we can then find the joy in a situation.
And then I'd like to give you a piece of my mind. Let's get to the conversation.
Well, Bill, hello.
Hello. Hi, Ken. Good to see you.
It's a pleasure to be back here in front of the old microphone.
Yes, indeed. Yes, indeed.
So last week we had a great conversation, or last session we had a great conversation about the very concept of what did we talk about last week? Was last week on truth?
Truth be told, it was.
Yes. Okay. Exactly. So last week we talked about the concept of truth. Right. And again, we're exploring different aspects of joy.
Yeah, and that's right.
So what conclusion did we draw with the relationship between joy and truth?
Well, it's another kind of transcendental phenomenon that needs to be shared as part of evangelization and is inherently treasured by and hopefully bestowed upon society by the church. Because I think society today needs joy in great abundance much more than it has. It needs truth much more than it has today. And we even touched on humor as another subject in our series. Mm-hmm. And I'd venture to say that our society needs more of that too. So all of these things, including today's topic, is that a spoiler alert or did we already?
No. Please, go
okay.
Ahead. Spoil away.
Spoil away?
A banana on my countertop. Spoil away, my friend.
I am one spoiled brat. I know that this week we're going to talk about trust, which is, again, akin to those other phenomena which we described. And also something that's very desperately needed and that the church can bring. Billy Joel doesn't quite say that last part about the church bringing it, but I think of that song, Honesty, by Billy Joel, where he says, honesty is such a lonely word. Everyone is so untrue. Honesty is hardly ever heard, but mostly what I need from you. In other words, everybody is longing to be able to trust other people. See, you might, being from the West Coast, you might not know Billy Joel lyrics like I, as a Long Islander.
Well, now that's entirely true. I certainly know Billy Joel lyrics. I could probably, if we had to, I could sit here and recite the entire We Didn't Start the Fire, but I'm not about to.
That's impressive. I couldn't do that.
That came out right in the sweet spot for me, right in like eighth grade kind of deal, you know,
yes.
When if it was on the radio and it was popular, it's implanted in my brain.
Yes.
Would that I had learned my phonics that way kind of deal, you know, but instead, no, I managed to learn about Penman John, H-Bomb. Yeah, all these sorts. See, now I'm going to start.
Yeah, exactly. A musical history lesson.
Exactly,
yeah.
Right. So
I love it.
And I, but to draw from that, I think that's an excellent example, right?
Yeah.
As you, mm-hmm. Because that lyric really does point to this idea that trust, it begins with relationship, And it points to relationship. Right. We can only trust. We only need to trust because we ourselves are not the only thing in the universe.
Yeah.
I need to trust you because you really exist.
Yeah.
At least I think you do. I trust that you do.
Right.
Right.
Uh-huh.
Right. And really, if you think about it, that's, of course, the beginning even of Descartes' kind of revolution, isn't it? In which he said, I had to think about what I could trust.
Yes.
And the only thing that I could trust was that I exist. I think, therefore I am.
Yes.
And this is really the revolution in modern thought.
Yeah.
After following this concept, because philosophy before that, especially scholastic philosophy, is called classical realism. Meaning that the world really does exist.
Right.
And our relationship to it is to realize that it exists and then to try to figure out how does my perception and my understanding of it correspond
conform to reality. And that seems like a really sound way to approach life, that both trust and truth should conform to reality. And how Descartes led us so far astray for so long, today.
And yet I want to say this, though. I mean, you know, the unspoken thing in classical realism is that it is acknowledging that, yes, I also do exist. I'm part of reality.
Yes, yes.
You know, and maybe it's never really explored, or if so, it wasn't, you know, at least kind of related there. There is something to, I think, what Descartes is trying to do, and it is to rebuild and to say, okay, well, starting from here, let's see what happens. But the problem is he makes himself the center of all things,
right,
rather than reality existing and him being a part of it.
Yes.
I think
yes.
that could be what it is. And so I mean, that's, I just wanted to begin with that.
No, it's a good point.
But they both have trust involved. The other thing that they both have involved, and certainly classical realism does, is this concept of correspondence, of truth.
Yes.
So this is a reference, of course, to what we did talk about last week. But there is something, there is this exploration of correspondence, of truth. And so in our interpersonal relationships, it comes to correspondence. You say you're going to do something, whether or not it's for me or whatever, and I then build in my mind and in my expectation a list of things that means.
Right.
You know? So you tell me, Ken, I'm going to come to your house. We're going to record the show on Wednesday night at 7:30. I'll be there. I then begin to, you know, construct my day
that
and my week around that.
Action.
Action. And then if you, for some reason, are untrustworthy, then my expectations have been disappointed, and my attitude towards you is now different.
Yes.
And all of the other relationships that I had have been let down and changed because of an untrustworthy act.
Yes.
So, again, this is, you know, little steps around the question of what is trust.
Yes. And so that's a good meditation on how essential trust is among us, you know, fallible human beings, so that we can get anything done, really. And it's what seems to be kind of scary is that I was kind of using Descartes as a prototype of this. It seems that today we're so much turned in on ourselves that we really do only trust ourselves, and we identify truth as whatever we call it to be, and therefore we suffer from what you were describing. There can be no action. There can be no planning. Am I right that we do at least run that danger?
Well, I think it obviously shows a profound skepticism, you know, in that if I can only trust those things that my interpretation of what's going on, so therefore what I think is going to be most important, then I'm going to say, well, you know what, I don't know if I can trust Bill.
Yeah.
And because of that, I may or may not set up to record the podcast on Wednesday night.
Right.
I just don't know. I think he might be there, blah, blah, blah. You know, so it's going to color the relationship that I have. And whereas you also, in this particular scenario, you've said, I will do this. You know, this is my intention and all that. So for me, it's going to be like, well, that may be true for you, but because I have not experienced it, I'm not going to believe it until I see it.
Right. That shows an indifference on my part to truth. And it shows on my part an indifference toward you in a real sense. So in a sense, trust is, really, it's a glue. As you say, it's all about relationship, and it's what makes relationships fruitful, I would imagine. When we talk about people only trusting themselves today, and that's brought out in a recently published book that I saw, The Death of Expertise, where this author says that people want to do everything themselves now because they really only trust themselves, and hence we have all of these websites where you can get your own mortgage and you can do your own financial planning and you can just about anything you want to do can be done by yourself rather than the old-fashioned method, which is looking to experts, looking to folks who knew some of the history and the context. Indeed, looking to elders, looking to parents and grandparents. A lot of that seems to have been lost. And while it might seem at first to be very empowering to feel that you know everything you need to know, it can be, it's a two-way street. You're hurting yourself and you're hurting others because you're giving no encouragement to other people to develop expertise or specializations, or to go into the context or history of things?
Well, this reminds me, to bring this to the question of faith.
Right.
Faith is, of course, a virtue. It's something that God gives us as a grace. And yet we are also, it's mediated through the community around us, through our forebears, through our grandparents, our parents, the brothers and sisters around us that practice, that, sitting in the pew next to us. These are all people who have their experience of faith, who are encouraging us, handing on their gift of faith to us.
Yes.
I have to choose it. I have to assent to it. Mm-hmm. I have to choose to get up and go to mass and buy a rosary or whatever it might be and actually go through the actions of faith.
Right.
But it is something that is witnessed to and received from others. Nobody gives themselves faith.
Yeah.
They may read the catechism and say, I've now read it cover to cover. I understand everything there is to know about the Catholic faith. And yet not believe and not truly have the gift of faith, which is ultimately trust, right? I mean, the gift of faith is as the church says, we believe by faith, we believe in God and believe all that he has revealed to us and that Holy Church proposes for our belief.
Indeed.
Belief is trust and assent. And that's
so,
as you're saying, yes, if we reject the faith that we have received as a gift from the people around us, it hurts them too.
Yes.
Because we are part of one body.
Yes.
Again, we can't bring ourselves to faith, but we can receive it as a gift.
Yes, yes.
Why do we trust God, though? Why should we trust?
A lot of people don't. They think that, why did God let me down in this situation? Why isn't he saving me from that situation?
And yet in the book of Psalms, hope in God, I will trust him still, I mean, from the great Psalms of despair. And yet I put my trust in God who in God is my hope, kind of deal. The reality is that Christ Jesus is the God's expression of love for us and his invitation to us to trust in his providence and love.
Right.
And yet Christ Jesus, who performed miracles that were signs, and they were always signs. They weren't things that forced the people to believe. You know, he performs this raising of Lazarus and people still, I don't know, you know, he feeds 5,000 and says, this is my body. And some still walk away because the miracles point to something, but they don't force.
No, that's right.
Because if God forced us to believe, to trust, then we would be merely robots.
Yes.
And so, again, it requires an assent of our own will. And yet, and so it truly is a human act.
Right.
But it's a human act to believe something that is beyond our comprehension, our entire comprehension.
Yes. It's something that's done in community. And I think of the possibly one of the most popular uses of the word trust in modern Catholic devotions is the Divine Mercy prayer where we say, Jesus, I trust in you. Now, that's obviously a voluntary assent of the will, and it's based on the evidence that we've seen in our own lives and in the whole Paschal mystery of God's great mercy toward us and a sacrificial self-donation for our salvation. Mm-hmm. So there's real proof there. And it's kind of, you know, it would be nice if more people were part of the community that shared that trust, because ironically, trusting God actually strengthens our trust in other people rather than diminishing. In other words, by saying, Jesus, I trust in you, we're not saying we only trust Jesus. We want to trust others because trust and truth and conformity with reality go hand in hand for us. We want it to. We want it to do so for our culture. But sometimes we fall short of that as individuals and as a society, as a church.
I can't disagree with that.
Yeah, no,
I trust that you're telling the truth.
You know. Thank you. Yeah, it's an important ingredient in life.
It is, trust. And ultimately, this idea of trust is an invitation.
Mm-hmm.
You know, as we speak about trust here, in the context of this. This series of, you know, on joy, on the kind of theme of the pontificate of Pope Francis, one of the major themes.
Right.
Pope Francis is extending an invitation.
Uh-huh.
He's extending an invitation to believe in the joy of the gospel.
Yes.
And to trust that the joy that is on his face as he smiles and invites and says things like, who am I to judge?
Yeah.
The joy that he's expressing is trustworthy.
Yeah.
And part of what makes him so appealing to so many people is that they see that he has been transformed by the gift of faith that he has embraced.
Yeah.
And they want to trust somebody who's trustworthy.
I like that. Yes. You know,
and
yes.
So ultimately it comes back to the one who is trustworthy, the one who is trustworthy because he can neither deceive nor be deceived. And that's God.
Right.
God, the creator of all things, who loves us, who wants us to be happy.
Yeah.
And this is not going in the direction of, you know, Benjamin Franklin, beer is a sign God loves us and wants us to be happy or whatever. But ultimately, truly, God wants us to be happy. He wants all people to be saved and come to the knowledge of himself.
Yeah.
And that's what the scriptures affirm to us and what the gift of faith that we have received handed down through the apostles and their successors is pointing us back to.
Mm. So Pope Francis's trust and trustworthiness is inseparable from his trust in God and close relationship with God that incorporates all of those other transcendental virtues, love, the love of God, a relationship of love with God, and faith, and all of his experiences in life.
Mm-hmm.
Mm. Yep. And a lot of people today don't trust any experiences that they can't prove empirically,
right,
or scientifically. And so there, whereas Pope Francis and so many Catholics, I mean, all believing Catholics, I'd imagine, have that experience that trust and truth incorporate mystery and paradox and things that we don't understand, but that we trust nevertheless.
Mm-hmm.
Am I right?
Well, yeah, because faith and reason can never be in opposition to one another.
Right.
Because they each have their limits of the truths that they are intending to express,
right,
and can express.
Uh-huh.
Reason can't tell us what love is. Love can't tell us how many million miles it is to the sun.
Right.
They each have their place.
They're
each expressions of truth.
Yes.
So.
Yes.
And they are both trustworthy.
Indeed.
Because they were all created by God, who is love itself.
Yes.
And created us to be like him.
Yes.
And looked at us at his creation and said, it is very good.
Yes. And isn't it sad and ironic if science causes some people to doubt or distrust God?
Who was it that said 1,000 questions don't add up to one doubt?
Yes, that's right.
Yeah.
And questions are good.
Questions are okay. That's the gift of wonder.
I like that. That's correct. Yes. We should do an episode on wonder. I wonder if we'll
have time.
Oh my goodness.
I knew you were going there.
No, right? Well, we trusted each other.
Exactly,
that would happen.
Exactly. Well, Bill, I think that's a good conversation about trust.
Yes.
And by the way, I want to establish this, and probably I should have much earlier. When I used the example of you saying, I will come and we will record at 7:30 on Wednesday night.
Right.
In no way, listener, dear listeners, was I implying that Bill has let me down on that.
Thank you
in
very
any
much.
Way. No, that was Thank merely you. The example I had to hand, because
That's
we are
okay.
sitting here at Wednesday on Wednesday night at 7:30, and you were here on time.
Thank
and we
you. Yes.
And we came straight into the studio, and lo and behold, here we are.
Yes, yes.
And this microphone is accurately reproducing my terrible voice. All of these sorts of things.
There are lots of things.
They are corresponding to truth.
Yes.
They are trustworthy.
Right. And our mutual trustworthiness has hopefully led to another excellent, fruitful, beneficial to others podcast, and to many more to come, please.
Indeed.
Yes.
Thank you for listening to our conversation during this episode 4. You can subscribe to hear future episodes at our website, encounterpoints.com. Our theme music is Leaves by Airtone, licensed under the Creative Commons Attribution License. We hope to encounter you in the next episode of Encounter Points.